And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, hello there. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Wednesday over the hump day, middle of the week edition of It's Your Turn. It's great to have you along with us here on WISR. Skies turned gray not too long after we had sunshine early this morning. We're up early this morning. Yeah, we had clear skies for much of the overnight and sunshine from the get-go. Sunrise this morning came at 7:17. It's getting earlier and earlier as the days grow longer. We didn't have the sun too long, though. We had blue sky for an hour or so, and we started to see a few more clouds, and then by mid-morning, it had clouded over significantly. And as you just heard Tracy say, there's precip coming, a mixed bag of precip coming at some point this afternoon, maybe not till late afternoon. We'll keep an eye on things for you. It's going to be a little wet, a little messy the rest of the day and tonight and tomorrow. But here we are now, almost the middle of February. Still no major monster snows or storms or long stretches of below freezing temperatures. Been a mild winter so far. Not over yet. Don't want to jinx things. Open talk for a while as we start the program today. We will chat a little bit later about heart failure. This is Heart Month, month of February. So we're going to do a couple of programs on healthy hearts. So we'll be talking about heart failure, specifically, with Dr. Philip Anderson. He's an MD, a medical doctor. And we'll learn about how heart failure is different from a heart attack. Also, later on the program today, and we'll be joined by Bethany Laslavic, who's the Director of Recruitment and Development for Northwestern Mutual. And she'll be here along with Melissa Leedy, who's the Membership Coordinator of the Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber. So we'll have guests coming up later on the program today. But first, a chance for you and I to chat a little bit here on the Wednesday edition. If you'd like to join our conversation, you can do that anytime at 283-2525. You know, today is Lincoln's birthday of Abraham Lincoln. Holiday here in Pennsylvania? No. Across the country? No. Lincoln's birthday is a state holiday in a few states: California, Connecticut, Missouri, and Illinois. Illinois calls itself the land of Lincoln. I think it says that on their license plates, as a matter of fact. Land of Lincoln, Illinois. Actually, there's some controversy there because Abraham Lincoln was not born in Illinois. He was born in Kentucky. But his family moved to Illinois. And that's where he became famous and eventually, of course, was elected president. Died assassinated tragically just a short time after he was inaugurated for a second term. He became president in 1860. Just as the Civil War was getting underway, and he was killed while attending a play, assassinated by John Wilkes Booth, very, very early in his second term. Abraham Lincoln. So it's not a holiday here in Pennsylvania. I think it used to be. If anybody else has a memory of this, I'm almost positive when I was in elementary school that we had Lincoln's birthday as a day off school. I know I didn't in high school, but I'm almost positive in elementary school it was a state holiday here in Pennsylvania. Anybody else remember that? Are you a baby boomer? Did you have Abraham Lincoln's birthday off? I was telling my morning colleague Kate this morning, I have snapshot memories of, you know, when you were in primary grades, of making silhouettes of Abraham Lincoln paste up on the wall. February 12th, Honest Abe, you know, he always had, you know, he had the top hat and the beard. Abe Lincoln did not grow a beard until he was elected president. He made a promise to a little girl during the election campaign. If he was elected president, he would grow a beard, and he did. So he really only had that that classic beard that we always think of Abe Lincoln having. He really only had that in the last few years of his life. I can remember also as a kid, a young kid, I was probably, I don't know, 10, around that age anyway. First time that Mom and Dad took my brother and I to Washington, D.C., and we went into the Lincoln Monument. Monumental statue of Abraham Lincoln. It's a monumental edifice to begin with at one end of the reflecting pool. But this huge, huge statue of Lincoln sitting in a chair. Yeah, impressive at any time of life, but certainly for a young kid. Abraham Lincoln's birthday. Today used to be Abraham Lincoln's birthday. Well, it still is, but we just don't mark it anymore as a holiday. Now, some people think that, you know, we have President's Day coming up on Monday, and so we had President's Day was developed in order to honor both George Washington and Abe Lincoln, Washington's birthday, February 22nd. That's not the case. Even though some people think that President's Day is the goofiest holiday we have all year here in the United States. Because nobody really knows what we're celebrating. When the federal government approved the third Monday of February as President's Day, it was officially designated as Washington's birthday. It was not called President's Day in the legislation that was approved by Congress or signed by Dick Nixon. He was the president then. No, it was Washington's birthday. It will be marked on the third Monday in February. By the way, it ensures that President's Day will never actually be on Washington's birthday, 22nd, because the third Monday in February cannot possibly be the 22nd. This year it's quite early. It's the 17th, this coming Monday. But over the years, some people thought, well, maybe they enacted this law so that they could honor both Washington and Lincoln since their birthdays are so close together. No, that's not what happened. That's not why they did it. Just another Monday holiday for government employees. But the only people that get off, right? Do you have President's Day off? No, I didn't think so. It's become a day for sales, and that's fine. But it's the most misunderstood holiday. If you look on federal government papers or news releases or anything, they still refer to it as Washington's birthday, not President's Day. President's Day is just the handle that it's come to be known by. So Abe Lincoln, who always seemed to get short shrift because his birthday was so close to that of George Washington, happy birthday, Abe, on this 12th of February. Abraham Lincoln honored on the U.S. penny. The pennies still have, they still have the Lincoln Memorial on, don't they? Yeah. I don't know, people don't pay much attention to pennies anymore. They do tend to build up and weigh your pocket down, don't they? Yeah. There have been some movements to eliminate the penny. Just round everything up to the nearest nickel. I don't think that's going to happen, but who knows? We very seldom change our money here in the United States. There has been an effort over the past decade or so to slightly redesign some of the paper money to make it harder to counterfeit. There's not a whole lot of difference. Coins? No. Our big change was the state quarters. Now they got the national park quarters, and nobody knows how many there are, or if you got them all, or nothing. You know, the luster's kind of off that campaign. Let's go to the phones. It's open talk at 283-2525, 283-2525. Hi there, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn. You're on the air.
Hi, Dave.
Hello.
You just brought a smile to my face with your comment about cutting out the silhouettes. I'm considerably older than you are. I'm 88. But you brought back memories of exactly what we did back then with both Lincoln's and Washington's birthday.
Well, that was...
celebrated on the actual dates.
When you were in elementary school, and I'm talking first, second, or third grade, you know, you didn't do it after
that's what I'm talking about way back then before you were in elementary school.
Well, you know, sort of thing is frowned upon today, but, look how well we remember it, so...
That's what I'm saying to you.
Yeah.
I just got back from my walk. I walk daily for about 30 minutes each day, and I always turn on WISR because I live in Natrona Heights, and so that's my contact with Butler constantly. And like I said, you just brought a smile to my face as I was taking my drink of water when you were talking about that. I just thought, oh my goodness, that sure brings back a memory for me. I wonder if there are others out there my age who remember that's exactly what we did in grade school.
Let me ask you one last question before I let you go here, because I can't remember this. Do you remember Lincoln's birthday being a day off school? I seem to remember that we didn't go to school on Lincoln's birthday.
Yes, sir. It was.
I thought so,
too. It absolutely was.
I don't know when it changed, but it isn't anymore, but...
It just runs in my mind when you were talking about that President's Day that yes, they designated it as Washington's birthday kind of remembrance, and now no, it's like I don't think anybody even thinks about Washington's birthday. It's just this, President's Day. I just figured it was a day they figured out to, a Monday holiday to give out for federal employees.
That's kind of it.
Just what it's become. So, like I said, I just had to let you know that you brought a smile to my face when you brought back those very, very early childhood memories.
Yeah, that's for
sure. And yes, I do remember indeed we had off.
Happy birthday, Abe. Yeah. Good to talk with you today, my friend. Nice to talk with you.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks very much. Lincoln's birthday today. Abraham Lincoln. There have been a couple of different designs for the penny. I'm not a coin collector, but there were something, I remember reading about that, something called a wheat penny, I think. I had wheat, picture wheat on it, I think, at one time. And there was, and I can remember when I was a little kid, I had some of these. I think it was in World War II, they made steel pennies instead of copper ones. Am I remember that correctly? That's a long time ago. I think so. They were gray. They weren't copper colored. And I think they only did it during the war, I believe. Well, I haven't seen one of those in ages. I don't know if you still have any. Are they valuable? I have no idea. I have no idea because I'm not a coin collector. But I think that was the only coin that changed during the war. Anybody remember that? Those gray steel pennies. 283-2525 is our number, 283-2525. It's your turn here for a Wednesday. Good news, the Clark Bar is back, or it will be in a couple of days. Supposedly, the Clark Bar, in the latest iteration, will be available in some candy stores at least on Friday, day after tomorrow. Clark Bar. Clark Company went out of business in Pittsburgh quite a few years ago. The recipe went to a number of other companies. The most recent one to make them was the New England Confectionery Company, NECCO, N-E-C-C-O. But they went bankrupt a couple of years ago. Now the Boyer's Company, the Boyer Candy Company in Altoona, has started making Clark bars again. Supposedly they'll be ready day after tomorrow. I want a Clark bar. 283-2525 is the number. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Good afternoon.
Hi. How you doing?
Okay. They used to make a wheat penny before, I think, in the 50s. Before they stopped making them in the 50s.
Uh-huh. And it
during the war, they made pennies out of steel.
Yeah.
Between 42 and 44, I believe.
They were gray.
They were steel pennies.
Kind of a dirty gray color. I can remember having a couple when I was a kid.
In the 40s.
Yeah.
They made them during World War II.
Are they valuable if you still have a couple of those or no?
I have them somewhere, yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're valuable, but they're worth at least a penny.
That's good. That's very good.
The wheat ones had like a sprig of wheat on the back of them.
Mm-hmm. I've seen pictures of them, and I thought it was called a wheat penny, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah, it was.
Thanks for the info. I appreciate you joining us today. Nice to talk to you.
Okay.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
So long. 283-2525. What line am I going to here? Right here. Hi there, caller. Dave Malarkey here. Go right ahead. It's your turn. You're on the air.
Yeah, Dave.
Hi.
It was 1943 where they made the steel pennies.
43.
And I still have a bunch of them.
And I'm assuming that copper was needed for the war effort. I don't know, for like radios or something
correct.
Like that.
Yeah, they. I remember something else too. Back in the old days.
What was that?
When I was a kid, a friend of mine and myself were down in Washington D.C.
Mm-hmm.
My aunt and uncle lived there, and we were the last, I think, the very last time that we were allowed all the way up in the dome of the Capitol building.
Oh, wow.
We were the last bunch that got to go up there. That was, I think I was about 10 years old at the time, 10 or 12. And that was quite an experience.
I've never been, but never been up there. In fact, I've never been inside the Capitol building. I've been on the outside steps, you know, leading up to it.
Yeah, it was 1943 that they made those pennies, and that was due to the war effort.
I'll have to talk to a
they
coin.
They really are worth anything, but if you happen to have a copper penny that was dated 1943, you really had something. They were very valuable.
Oh, that's interesting.
But those are my comments. And also, the other day we were talking about smoking.
Yes, uh-huh.
And all the places they banned in the city parks and all that.
And now the state parks, too, yeah.
Yeah, state parks and city parks. And really, as far as I was concerned, I never was a smoker, and I would have liked to have seen altogether that the tobacco companies went completely out of business.
Yeah, well, that probably would be
a good
idea.
That would be a wonderful thing.
It would be. Yeah, no question about it. Well, hey, listen, it was great to talk to you today. Thanks for joining our conversation, and thanks for the info about the pennies. I appreciate
it. Sure thing.
Sure.
Okay, have a good day.
Yeah, sure, you too. We need to take a break, and I think we're about ready to hook up with our medical doctor here just for a few minutes. We're going to be talking about heart failure today. You know the difference between heart failure and a heart attack? Two different things, actually. So stick around, quick break, and then Dr. Philip Adamson will join us on the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR. We will be back momentarily. The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler. Coming up on this segment of the It's Your Turn program, listeners, I'm Dave Malarkey. This is American Heart Month, the month of February, and we are going to be talking today about heart failure with Dr. Philip Anderson. He is the medical director at Abbott. Abbott is a global leader in heart failure technology. First of all, doctor, welcome. Nice to have you with us here for a few minutes today, sir.
Thank you, Dave. Thanks for having me.
I think the first thing we better do is make sure that all of our listeners are on the same page when we're talking about heart failure. Heart failure is different from a heart attack. I'm correct on that, sir?
You are, and the terms are a little bit confusing, but a heart attack typically occurs when a blood vessel is blocked to the heart muscle and the heart muscle becomes damaged in that area. Heart failure is when the heart muscle is weakened enough that it compromises the blood flow to the heart or to the body itself. So those are two distinct syndromes that have different treatments. So it can be kind of confusing.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about the symptoms that might present if you are having heart failure trouble?
Sure. Typically, people feel short of breath when they have heart failure, and that shortness of breath can be with exertion. People notice that they're getting short of breath with minimal exertion, and then the most scary part of heart failure is when people feel short of breath at rest. It's like drowning, so it's a very scary syndrome that typically brings people to the emergency room at its extremes, but some of the less severe symptoms can go unnoticed or ignored.
Hmm. So the next thing that we need to know, does this come on suddenly, or is it something that develops slowly? Is there something in our diet or our lifestyle that would make us more susceptible to heart failure?
Well, it can come on quite slowly, which makes it difficult sometimes for people to seek medical care because they can't really realize what's happening. But that slow progression can culminate into a very severe syndrome that leads people to the emergency department. So it can be both, and an early awareness of symptoms is very important. Typically, heart failure can come from either a blockage in the heart artery. As we mentioned, multiple heart attacks can weaken the muscle itself. High blood pressure can cause the heart to fail over time if left untreated. There are other things like viruses and genetics and inflammatory diseases that can cause the heart to be damaged as well. So heart failure can come from a variety of different causes, and it's important to know which one. But it typically presents with the same kind of symptoms, regardless of how it's caused.
Is there any hereditary factor involved here? Could this be congenital? Are some people more likely to develop heart failure problems later in life than others?
They are, Dave. There are genetic syndromes that lead to an increased risk of the heart muscle becoming weak over time, and that typically is fairly apparent because many members of the family develop heart failure or maybe need heart transplants or other types of advanced therapies. So being aware of what the family history is important, as well as being aware of the symptoms.
So we know that heart failure is different from heart attack, although heart failure could result from a blockage, as you mentioned a few moments ago. Is there any relation between this? I'm probably going to mispronounce this, doctor, but something called amyloidosis or something to that effect that can, in some cases, affect the heart. Does that factor in here, or is that something totally different?
It does. Amyloidosis can cause a very severe problem with the heart. It's kind of different in that the heart has to relax to fill with blood and then squeeze strongly to send that blood out to the body. And amyloidosis affects the ability of the heart to relax. And it's a fairly common disease. And recently, there's been medical therapies that have been developed to treat a certain type of amyloidosis. So if that is diagnosed, that's important to get with a specialist to get the right medicines.
I mention that because we had a pretty high-profile case here in western Pennsylvania. It's quite a few years ago now, but a former mayor of the city of Pittsburgh died of amyloidosis, so I didn't know whether that factored in or not. You are the medical director at Abbott. Abbott is a global leader in heart failure technology. Tell us a little bit about what can be done to treat people who develop heart failure, doctor.
It's been an amazing 25 years, I'll tell you, that the development of medications that target specific areas in the heart to help it get better has been remarkable. There's several medicines that are very effective to help people even go into remission. So it's important, I think, to certainly seek care to get medicines. Devices, that's typically what we develop at Abbott. Our medical device division seeks to continuously provide innovations and solutions to help patients with heart failure. That can range from a special kind of pacemaker to correct an electrical problem with the heart. And we have developed a device that can monitor patients from their home and give very important information to their doctors that can help them stay out of the hospital and stay at home. And then if the disease progresses to the point that people can't get blood to their organs, which is kind of we call advanced heart failure, we've developed the most important assist pump in the world, which is called the HeartMate 3 device, and that's permanently implanted in the chest and helps the heart pump and can save lives and prolong life over time with a great quality of life. So it's an amazing time to be able to help people with heart failure.
Wow, that's a device that I have not heard of before. That's amazing, the developments in medical technology in recent years, isn't it, Doctor? Wow.
It's been a remarkable journey. I've done this for about 30 years, and to watch what we had 30 years ago compared to today, it's a totally different world, and I'm excited about what we'll have in the next 5 to 10 years.
Speaking of the future, I understand from some of the background material that was supplied by Abbott, unfortunately, heart failure, the incidence of heart failure is expected to increase significantly here in the United States in just the next decade.
It's somewhat frightening, Dave. I tell you, the number of patients in the United States currently that walk around with heart failure is around 6 million. We expect that to go to 9 million or a 46 or a 50% increase in the next 10 years. So we really are trying to prepare ourselves for that pandemic in the Western world with novel and efficient ways to help people get better and to manage them without necessarily having to put them in the hospital, which has been sort of the paradigm of medical care in the past 25 to 30 years. We really seek to help people have a better quality of life outside the confines of a hospital.
We're talking here on It's Your Turn Today, listeners, with Dr. Philip Adamson. He is the medical director at Abbott. We're talking about health failure during this February Heart Month. Does ethnicity play a factor? I know there are some conditions, some diseases where it does. I'm thinking right off the top of my head of sickle cell anemia, which I know African Americans are more prone to. Does ethnicity play a part in the development of heart failure, doctor?
It does, and it's from a variety of perspectives, but Hispanics and African Americans do have an increased risk of developing heart failure in their lifetime. Hypertension plays a remarkable role in African Americans for the development of heart failure, and resistant hypertension is very important to treat in that population. Same with Hispanics and others that have a slightly increased risk of developing heart failure. It's interesting, men and women who are pregnant, it turns out, have a slightly increased risk of heart failure. So these are groups that have increased risk, but quite frankly, we all are at risk, and I think we have to remember that and take care of our hearts as best we can.
Our available time begins to run short. Doctor, is there one most important thing that our listeners might take from our conversation here today, doctor?
I would say that ignorance is not bliss in this situation. Being aware of how you're feeling and your heart, and having a very low threshold to ask your doctor about your heart and symptoms that could be related to heart failure or heart disease. Very important, because the earlier we get involved, the better.
Is there a website where people might go to get more accurate information on this?
Sure. We have a website called abbott.com/myths, M-Y-T-H-S. Very good repository of information, as is the heart.org, which is the American Heart Association's Heart Facts website.
February is American Heart Month. Talking about heart failure today with Dr. Philip Adamson, Medical Director at Abbott. Thanks, Doctor. Very informative. Thanks for talking with us here today, sir.
Dave, thanks for having me.
Sure. So long now.
Heading out of town for that special Valentine's Day getaway? Be sure to stop by Tobacco for Less for all your smoking and vaping needs. They're Western PA's largest glass emporium, complete with hundreds of glass pipes to choose from. They also feature a walk-in humidor and a 19-foot vape juice bar. Even their health and wellness department stays fully stocked with a great selection of high-quality CBD products. For all your smoking and vaping needs, check out Tobacco for Less, with locations in Butler, Sharon, and Aliquippa.
Welcome back, good friends. Nice to be with us. Interesting conversation there with Dr. Adamson about the difference between heart attack and heart failure, and a good time to talk about it during February Heart Month. Well, we're going to switch gears now. We've got guests with us from, first of all, the Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber. Melissa Leedy joins us. She's the membership coordinator. Hi, Melissa. Nice to have you here again.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for having me back.
And special guest joining us as well, Bethany Loslovic, who is the director.
Hello. How are you?
Hi, Bethany. How are you? Bethany.
Good.
Bethany is the Director of Recruitment and Development for Northwestern Mutual Insurance Company. They're going to be participating in an upcoming event that Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber is involved with. So first of all, welcome both of you. They both join us by telephone today from different places. So we'll do our best to coordinate, even though none of the three of us can see each other here. First of all, and let's talk, while we have Bethany on the phone here for a while, Melissa, let's talk about the event that Northwestern is going to be one of, I guess, several companies participating in, something called Innovation Pittsburgh. What is this all about, and when will it be?
Sure. So I guess I can kick it off if you'd like me to. But
sure.
So this event I was asked to be a panelist on, and I'm very appreciative for the opportunity. It's Thursday, March 5th. 5 to 7:30 at the DoubleTree Hotel in Cranberry.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I understand, this is really, an event that is going to help many businesses and teams come together to learn about attracting and engaging really the next generation of talent. So from my understanding, I know I'm going to be spending some think time on, my role in sourcing and recruitment and how, I work to retain. My target market is primarily the millennials and those soon to be graduating. So that's who I'm interviewing on a regular basis and also helping to develop. So I'm very excited to participate.
Melissa, let me direct this question to you. There will be others on the panel discussing this issue come March 5th?
Yeah, we have four panelists so far. And what we've tried to do is get a variety of different resources available based on experience, based on success stories, and I believe we're still trying to grow that panel. Since it's about a month away, we still have one or two spots left, so we're looking to fill them all, but we do have four speakers already signed up and committed to being able to talk about this next generation workforce, which does include myself as well, in how do we retain them, how do we get them to stay, and what attracts them to an organization that was different than what happened and what was attractive in the previous generation of the workforce.
Is there still time for businesses to sign up to attend this event?
Yes, we are still accepting reservations for that. There's a few different ways that you can do that. You can always call our office. We're open, 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. You can register through our website at any time at pghnorthchamber.com. You just go to the calendar and you can register that way. And then you can always just shoot us an email to info@pghnorthchamber.com, and we can help walk you through the process.
And again, this is going to be held in Cranberry, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Let me check back in with Bethany here, Bethany Loslavic. I understand that your company, Northwestern Mutual, ranked pretty high on a recent survey of best companies for millennials. So you're doing okay at this point of of hiring new and fresh young talent, eh?
Yeah, it seems like it. And I actually, to be honest, that was more of a recent discovery for me through my research after being asked to speak on this panel. And, you know, I was reading through why, and it talked a lot about work-life balance, which is essentially the core of what we do is hire people to be in business for themselves but not by themselves, so they have control. And through my interviewing, I really discovered, like, that is one of the main things that younger generations are looking for, is the ability to work independently and not be managed but be mentored. So a lot of what we hire for at Northwestern, that type of style.
A little bit different from what potential employees might have been looking for 20, 25 years ago, right?
Yeah, and I can't, again, I'm a millennial, so I speak to that statistic really well. Like, I fall in that realm of wanting to have mentors and coaches versus somebody who's going to micromanage me or fit me into a job description specifically.
When we say millennials, how do you define it? I've seen shifting definitions of this. We're talking about people in their 20s, 30s. Is that generally it?
Yeah, so I think it's I believe the age range is 20 right now. The top of the age range is 35, I believe. They're currently 35. And I fall in that. I'm 26. So in that age range there, really 24 to 35 is that millennial.
So after 35, you're not a millennial anymore. You're an old geezer, I guess, at that point.
No.
What else? Bethany Loslavic is the Director of Recruitment and Development for Northwestern Mutual. What else are younger potential employees looking for other than, I started to write down the phrase you gave because it was pretty good, working for yourself but not by yourself. What else are they looking for in a company?
Yeah, so I pulled some other really data points, 8 different ones that were in the top 20 in that same survey that we talked about that Northwestern ranked on, and some of those being a competitive compensation package, but that didn't necessarily say that you want to make a ton of money. It was more along the lines of being able to invest and plan for retirement through the employer. Again, that work-life balance conversation we just had. I think, again, when you think about this generation of millennials or the young workforce, college education has significantly increased in the price. So being able to have tuition reimbursement or that opportunity to go back to school and the employer paying for that. Again, benefits, you know, with healthcare, maternity, and paternity leave. Another one on here would be diversity and inclusion as a focus. So we need to do a better job sourcing to match the marketplace. So that's a big focus of, I know, Northwestern Mutual as well. Number 5 was social responsibility, the ability to give back and really feel like you're making a big impact on the community and other people. Number 6 was a forward-thinking company, 7 was values-driven, and then 8 was the ability to be mentored and coached, not managed, as I mentioned.
In terms of benefits, one of the big changes there that you mentioned that some companies are now offering is paternity leave. We always had maternity leave, at least most places did. I know there were instances I've read back in the 50s and 60s where in some professions, women who became pregnant, they lost their job, but that's not been the case for a long, long time. However, paternity leave is something that's still relatively new, is it not?
It is. And I can't say that Northwestern Mutual is on the cutting edge of that. Now, again, to speak to how behind we actually were, we are now implementing maternity leaves, and we did not necessarily have that for advisors before. So there are companies that are still very behind in this space, but the paternity leave is something very, very new.
Are the majority of your new hires in the sales force, or do they? Are you looking for administrators, or what are you hiring for?
Yeah, so primarily what I look for are people to fill the financial advisor roles. 90% of our field force did not have prior financial experience before coming to Northwestern, so we look for some some core characteristics. We call them the three I's. So people that really want to make a big impact. So again, with the millennial and the young workforce, it kind of fits. High income potential, and then high need for independence in the workplace. So those are the core three that we look for. But then beyond that, it doesn't really matter the background of, you know, field that you were in before. We have engineers at Career Change, accountants, other business owners. So it really, really is a broad range.
Melissa, let me direct this question to you. Melissa Leedy is the membership coordinator for the Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber. Some of your other panelists, will they be addressing similar issues, or will they be talking about other things at the upcoming Innovation Pittsburgh event?
Yeah, they'll be talking about similar topics. Included in that will be things like how they do the job differently, and what the priorities for them accepting the job are. Not that necessarily the jobs in an organization have changed, but interests have changed, and maybe not having a rigorous job description where you can only do those things, but creating opportunities for millennials or the younger generation to kind of gain additional skills, allowing them to do those stretch projects, if you will, so they can learn how to be prepared for when a role does open up, that they've had experience and they're able to do that well. So they're looking to always expand across their original job description as well. So we'll be talking about what that looks like and how employers can create those opportunities, even if they don't have necessarily a position for someone to move into yet, so that we can be more well-rounded as an employee.
Mm-hmm. Bethany, another factor in addition to recruiting these new employees, companies have to be concerned about keeping the ones that you already mm-hmm. have, right?
Right. Absolutely, yeah. So our focus in the development space is on a long-term career. Everyone that I interview, I basically tell them this really isn't worth it if you go in with a mentality of an entry-level role. Mm-hmm. I really position this career as a long-term career to make it the most beneficial. So the way that we continue to grow with our advisors is really a career path, a career plan over the years. We consider the first 5 years of the career to be your groundbreaking years, the heavy client acquisition years. So they kind of know what to expect up front, but then we do a lot of vision work with them, not only professionally, but personally, so they feel really attached to the way that they can grow both with their profession, but then personally with their family and whatever that looks like. So we try to focus on that long-term retention from the very beginning of our selection.
From the company's standpoint, Bethany, we talked about you itemized some of the things that potential employees are looking for in a company. What do mm-hmm. they want? What about from the company's standpoint? It's interesting to note two things. First of all, many Americans are not planning a whole lot for the future in terms of saving and financial planning, are they? So you've got to try to change that culture, right?
Right, yeah. So, again, doing research on our generation, heavy focus on impact. So in my selection process, I try to make it very clear that there's a huge market opportunity for what we do. Savings rate in America right now is a negative 1-1%. People are not saving money, and it's more behavioral than anything, so we want to focus on behavioral changes with the population. Approximately 20% of Americans have a written financial plan, and the average age of an advisor is 55 to 60. So I feel like when we talk to, again, this younger generation, they get excited. They're like, I want to jump in. That's impactful. So we really try to, talk about these statistics as if it's a huge need, and it is a huge need.
Let me ask about a couple of things there that I see as interesting. First of all, even among the Americans who are trying to save a little bit each pay or each month or whatever, mm-hmm. There's not a whole lot of them that have actually sat down and developed a written plan on this. They're just kind of, well, save a little here, save a little there.
Right.
It's important to actually get something on paper, right, to have a real plan.
Exactly, yeah. And I know for myself personally, the more I write my goals down and read them, the more likelihood that I will actually achieve. So we really focus our philosophies around that written financial plan. So take action and execute.
And the other thing is, if you're trying to urge younger people to develop a financial plan, a long-term financial plan. A lot of them, I would guess now, would be more inclined to talk to a younger person than to someone that they see as an old fogey. Not that anybody who's 55 to 60 is an old fogey, but that's the general age, the average age of most financial advisors these days in America, right? I'm guessing that some young people would rather talk to a person that's closer to their age.
Yeah, and you're totally right. And I think why we focus on the younger generation from the long-term career standpoint, because this is a long-term career. So we want people to start early so they can make the most out of this career path. But then when we recruit these younger generations and they come to me and they say, hey, I'm not familiar, I'm not as confident, I am young, what if somebody says this to me and they don't believe in me because I don't know enough and I'm not gray-haired? We have a mentor system in place, again, why I think it is such a great fit for a younger generation. They are able to partner with these so-called white-haired individuals and go on meetings with them so they don't need to feel like it's all on them. But they have the ownership and the independence of the career. So whenever, you know, we talk about relating it to the younger generations, that's absolutely, you know, in place because we are hiring those individuals, but those individuals don't have to feel like it's all on them to figure it out.
Are you, Bethany, also involved in training as opposed to just recruiting and hiring new people?
I am, yes. So my role is both in the recruitment space and the development space of our full-time advisors, really any staff, administrative members, and then interns that we hire. So kind of wear a lot of hats in that space.
Is it standard procedure for your company, and we're talking specifically about your company, obviously, Northwestern Mutual, is it standard procedure for them to offer to help pay tuition costs for new employees?
Yeah, so we will pay for continued education specific to the financial services world. We'll not pay for an MBA or, you know, next-level education outside of it, but we do compensate and we push for continued education and continued training in the financial services space, so yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the new hires have mentors and individual coaches early on in their careers?
Yeah, they're paired with a mentor that they formally meet with regularly, and then that process I told you is what we call joint work, so our advisors don't need to go on meetings with potential clients by themselves. We strongly encourage them, partnering with other advisors is how you're going to learn the ropes. They are the most successful people in this business, and they're, you know, allowed to go on these meetings for a reason with you, so we have all these formalized ways of mentorship, but then these informal ways that where they naturally can create these relationships. So that's the structure of our, you know, our mentorship and training.
Pretty good opportunities for advancement in Northwestern Mutual, Bethany?
Yeah, so leadership opportunity, and quickly just to touch on, I guess, my story because it relates to this topic. I started at Northwestern in 2013, and I am the exact example of probably that job hopper, millennial or job hopper young generation person. And I left Northwestern to figure out what else was out there, and I left for 4 months, and I came back after realizing, you know, the corporate world isn't all it's cracked up to be for me personally. I am the ideal millennial, and I came back here because the opportunity to grow was really at my fingertips versus, you know, waiting for people to retire. And again, I am the ideal millennial, impatient, you know, wanting the advancement opportunities quicker, but there is a lot of opportunity to grow in leadership and then also within your craft and your technical work of financial advising.
Let me ask you one more general question before I let you go, Bethany. Northwestern Mutual's offices here in Western Pennsylvania, where are you based?
Yeah, so we have 4 offices in Pittsburgh. We have my office, which is in the South Hills of Pittsburgh. We're a district, a Cranberry Township office. So in the north of Pittsburgh, and then we have a Monroeville location, and then right downtown Pittsburgh in the Steel Tower, which is where I'm currently at today. So a quick footprint around there.
Terrific. Well, I'm going to let you go, Bethany. I'm sure you have other work to do here today, but we do appreciate you spending a few minutes with us to tell us a little bit about your company and the work that companies need to do these days to recruit and retain young millennials. It was nice to talk to you, Bethany.
It was great. Thanks so much for having me, and I look forward to the panel.
Sure, sure. Okay.
Thanks so much.
We'll take a break here. We'll let Bethany go, but Melissa's going to stay with us. I have a couple of more questions for her, so stick around. More to come on It's Your Turn here on a Wednesday, right after these words.
I can't remember the last time I went to the dentist. Now I'm too embarrassed to go because my teeth are in such bad condition.
Unfortunately, this person is not alone. Many folks put off going to the dentist because they fear being scolded for neglecting their teeth. This is Dr. Bob Todd with a special message. Dentistry today is faster, easier, and better than ever before. At our dental office, we don't believe in making you feel guilty, no matter how long it has been since you've seen a dentist. We know fear and embarrassment can cause a cycle of procrastination. If it has been years since you've been to the dentist, call us today. We will help put your mind at ease and bring your smile back to health.
If you hate going to the dentist but know you have a dental problem, help is only a phone call away. Dr. Bob Todd and his friendly dental team will answer all your questions and care for all your concerns. For complimentary information or to schedule an appointment at their Butler office on Evan City Road, please call 282-7774 or on the web at butlersmiles.com.
Hi, this is Dave Malarkey. I'd like to talk to you for just a moment here about the good folks at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here at Butler. What a great job they do to help those who are less fortunate in many ways. They operate the St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank, of course. They have their St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in the Greater Butler Mart and their client aid program. And the client aid program helps needy families or individuals, you know, maybe with help on a heating bill or a rent payment at the end of the month, client aid. And that's funded through the operation of the thrift store. So you can help by donating items that you no longer need or want to the thrift store. It's very easy to do. Drop-off bins are right inside the door. You can use the container outside. They're located in the Greater Butler Mart, so think about it. Next time you're cleaning the closet or the upstairs, instead of throwing that stuff away, why not donate it to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler? We stand tallest when we stoop to help others.
Are you 65 years of age? Did you know you are eligible to ride free transportation? That's right, free transportation. Sign up for your free transit pass at Butler Transit Authority's downtown bus terminal on West Newcastle Street. Ride the local Butler buses to shopping, destinations, medical appointments, and more. Feeling more adventurous? Take the bus to Pittsburgh. Shop, dine, and explore all that Pittsburgh has to offer. Visit our bus terminal or butlertransit.com for more information.
Chatting with Melissa Leedy. Melissa is the membership coordinator for the Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber. You have your annual meeting coming up. Oh, it's tomorrow, isn't it?
It is tomorrow.
Yeah. And what happened there? You're celebrating an anniversary of the formation of the chamber?
Yes. So 2020 is our 10-year anniversary of being the Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber. 10 years ago, we were two separate entities, the Cranberry Chamber of Commerce and the North Allegheny Chamber of Commerce. They both got together and found out they were doing more things that were similar than that were different, and they decided to become one entity. And so we're celebrating being merged for 10 years now. So we have our annual meeting, which is what we do every year. We reflect on what we did in the previous year, and then we vision cast for the next year of what our plans are based on the feedback of our membership of what is important to them and the community that we support. So that is tomorrow, like you said, February 13th, and we are sold out. We're very excited that we had such a tremendous want for people to be able to be a part of that. Because of it being our 10-year anniversary, we're doing something very special. We are honoring all of our members who have been with us 10-plus years. So we have over 206 members who have been part of our Chamber of Commerce since the merger that have stayed with us, which is a phenomenal testimony about just the great success that our members have had in the community and the support that we've been able to provide to them, which is very, very a great opportunity.
And obviously the merger has been very successful because your membership is a lot larger than 200 now, isn't it?
Yes, it is. We're about 1,000 businesses that make up our organization right now. So that's about 23,000 employees that we support through three different counties and 14 municipalities.
You're also going to be giving away some awards tomorrow evening.
We are. So we have 5 awards that we're going to be giving out tomorrow. So what we did is we put out the awards, what those descriptions were, and we asked all of our membership to vote on who they felt represented that award best. So those 5 categories are Distinguished Business Award, Prestigious Business Leaders Award, Young Professional of the Year, Outstanding Volunteer Award, and Woman Entrepreneur Excellence Award. So those 5 different categories, we'll be announcing who those winners are at our annual meeting tomorrow night.
A couple of other things coming up in the near future, a week from today, and that would be next Wednesday. You have a member benefits orientation coming up, right?
Yeah, so if you're interested in exploring what the Chamber has to offer, or if you're a current member and just would love a refresher, we do a member benefits about every 2 months. It doesn't cost anything. Just come in, and we'll go through all the different programs, discount things that you can take advantage of, free opportunities to advertise your business without any extra cost. So it's just a great way to refamiliarize yourself with all the different opportunities that are available to you through the Chamber.
And then you're going to have a marketplace lunch here in Butler a little bit later in this month of February.
We are. So on February 24th, it's from 11:30 to 1. We meet at the 11th Frame Bar and Grill. It is open to visitors, so if you are a Chamber member or if you're not, we would love to have you. It's a great way to network with other individuals who want to do business with people in Butler. So we encourage anyone who is interested in that to please come out and join us on the 24th from 11:30 to 1 at the 11th Frame Bar and Grill.
And one other thing coming up at the tail end of February, a home-based ribbon cutting. What's that all about, Melissa?
Yeah, so we do this once a year. This is actually our 3rd year doing this. We have a lot of businesses. The demographic of what a business is has changed. Not every business has a brick and mortar. A lot of people work out of their homes now or maybe out of a coffee shop, and they do a lot of things remotely. So we want an opportunity for those businesses to still be able to do a ribbon cutting that a traditional brick and mortar has the opportunity to do with the Chamber. So in February of every year, we do home-based ribbon cutting. So they come to our Wexford office and they can set up a table, and then our president and staff and then a lot of our different Chamber members will come out and celebrate with them. So they can take photos just like if they had a brick and mortar, cut the ribbon, receive a certificate, and be able to use those for promoting their business.
And what's the address of the Wexford headquarters?
That's 5000 Brooktree Road in Wexford, PA. It's right off of Route 19.
A lot of stuff happening, and it's nice to talk about it with the membership coordinator of the Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber, Melissa Leedy. And thanks to our earlier guest, too, Bethany Loslavic from Northwestern Mutual. She's the Director of Recruitment and Development there. Good to talk with you again, Melissa. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Dave, for having me once again.
All right. So long now. Bye-bye. Melissa Leedy visiting with us. We also thank our earlier guest, and that was Dr. Philip Adamson with us talking about heart failure and specifically not only the symptoms but the differences between heart failure and heart attack. Very informative. And what else? Oh, we were talking about Lincoln pennies and steel pennies and wheat pennies and all that stuff earlier today, as this is Abraham Lincoln's birthday. It's February 12th, kind of a forgotten holiday. Actually, it's not a holiday in most states anymore, but today's the day, so happy birthday, Abe. Thanks for joining us today. We had a good time. We'll do it again tomorrow. We do it every weekday, 12:30, the It's Your Turn program here on WISR. Watch out for the weather. It's going to turn a little wet and maybe, a little slippery. Right now, as we check the radar, it appears that the precip is not going to be arriving here until late afternoon, but be ready for it. Going to get a little messy after that. Be careful.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
こぼれないように泣きながら